Welcome to the chat with Linda Sims here at WWGH 107.1 FM radio, streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Also, you have an option to download the free app called TuneIn and search WWGH. It will be on your phone until you decide to disable your app. I have with me today our illustrious Mayor Scott Schertzer of Marion, Ohio. How are you today?
Well, good morning. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Doing good. Glad you weren't too busy to visit me today.
Well, this is the time of the year where you leave some blocks open to discuss the topics of the day, and
yes.
This happened to be one, so we appreciate you inviting me out to talk on the issues.
Well, great. You have a lot to share with us then.
We'll see what line of questions you have. Absolutely. I always have a lot to talk about.
Okay. Absolutely, Mayor. I would always like to share, start with the program with you sharing just a little bit about yourself and that you have been elected for your third term.
Correct. Of course, the municipal races were last year, in 2015. Municipal elections, along with township trustees and school boards, we run in what we call off-year or odd-year elections. And, of course, the even years are the president, which is this year, and the governor, which will be in 2 years, and other executive and state legislative and federal legislative offices run in even years. So there's a lot going on in the election process right now. But yes, I was elected last year to a third term, so thank you to all the voters who voted for me. I certainly do appreciate that. You know, this hasn't been without our challenges. You know, certainly we don't shy away from challenges in Marion, Ohio, whether it's a heroin epidemic problem that's sweeping the country.
Yes.
I think, have done some rather unique things in Marion, Ohio that I don't know that it's being done anywhere else in the country, but we're doing some unique things here, handling infrastructure issues and all the issues that a mayor and his administration, along with the cooperation of city council, because I can't do my job without a cooperative city council. And again, most of the issues that we deal with here in Marion city government, they're not partisan issues. They're not Democrat issues. They're not Republican issues. They're Marion issues.
Right.
And it makes it nice to come together with both sides the political aisle when you tackle these important issues that face the citizens of Marion.
That's good, and I'm glad you said that at this moment, or for maybe the past two terms, we've been able to come together as a whole to deal with our problems with both sides of the spectrum, Democrat and Republicans working together. And I hope that continues no matter who is president.
Well, I think it will at the local level. You know, collaboration and cooperation is so important in local government, which would include county government as well. I've seen the city and the county collaborate together and work together better than I've ever seen it in my lifetime.
Great.
Now, that's not to say back in the 70s and 80s and even the 90s that city and county didn't work well together, but I've just seen an uptick of collaboration and cooperation between the city and the county, and that was shown a year ago this past summer.
Good.
When we were able to merge 911 and dispatching services. That's been great for all the citizens that live in Marion County and the city of Marion, providing a better service in that regard.
Right. And during your tenure, you came in a time that we were really in bad shape here in our city of Marion, Ohio, and you have helped to usher us through what you call the breaking of day, you know, through our city.
Thank you. But I think it was a national issue.
I think
the national recession was just burgeoning in 2008 when I was sworn in. And, you know, we don't choose the times that we live, but we can choose to make the best of those times.
Right.
And that's what we've done. We've made some difficult decisions. We've changed a lot of things in the city. I don't know of a service that we have completely eliminated. coordinated, but certainly the way that we deliver the services that our residents have come to expect has been modified and changed, whether it's through partnerships with township government or county government or whatever the case may be. But certainly it has changed prior to the 2007-2008 recession that we have all just come through.
Yes, absolutely. And I know it was nationwide.
Yep.
And we all suffered through that. But mm-hmm. it also, like you said, depends on who is in leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How you come through that and how, you know, things turn out. And I think that you've done a great job here in Marion. And maybe not, you know, some people say, well, why doesn't the mayor do this? You know, but I realize that there are channels that you have to go through yourselves too. You got to have money available and, you know, people to work with you and things like that too.
Well, I think one of the most unique things that I've recognized serving as the chief executive of the city of Marion is sometimes the residents of Marion think that the mayor has more power than he actually does. Because I get that question too. Why don't you do something
right.
about this? And
right.
I'm like, because I don't have the power to.
Mm-hmm.
I derive the power from the mayor, derives its power from the Ohio Constitution. And so I'm limited by the what the Ohio Constitution says in many ways.
That's good. That's good. At least you know your limits.
Yes.
And you're not, you know, overwhelmed with all this power, you know, and just do what you want to do. Which that happens too with some people who are in power. You know, you have to be careful who you give power to.
Mm-hmm.
And but we're going back to our city and how downtown Marion has really developed into a pretty nice place where people like to go and spend time. And a lot of events have been going on. Now, did you have anything to do with any of those things?
Well, certainly, again, the mayor and the city administration does participate. But, you know, you have to give credit to Downtown Marion, Inc.
Yes.
and their board and that organization. They do a lot of fundraising to keep that that organization flowing. The city participates by giving $1,000 a month to Downtown Marion, Inc. To do our part. We certainly meet with them frequently and often when it comes to different events that take place, whether it's the assistance from the street department to do the 5K that they did a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
or some other event that might be taking place as a result of the Downtown Marion, Inc.'s efforts. Nisa Stump has done a great job. She's been a great promoter of Downtown Marion, as well as all the board members. It's one of the most enthusiastic boards that I serve on. And again, as mayor, I do serve on that Downtown Marion, Inc. board. And it makes it so refreshing when the mayor is asked to serve on a board, when any board has so much energy and enthusiasm and passion for what its mission is and what they believe in. I believe that Downtown Marion is a burgeoning market right
mm-hmm.
now. I don't mean to give the illusion that it's going to return to the marketplace that it was in the 1940s, 50s, or 60s, because certainly the times that we live in have changed dramatically.
Yes, they have, Mayor. You're
I
right.
mean, we're sitting in Southland Mall right now.
Mm-hmm.
Back in those days, the Southland Mall did not exist.
No.
But downtown is a burgeoning market. It's getting a lot of attention right now for the efforts that they're putting forward. I think you're going to see some new restaurants in the downtown. And when new restaurants come to a marketplace like Downtown Marion, it's going to attract other stores and other businesses. And when you get more foot traffic on the streets, that's going to be good for downtown. So all those things are taking place right now. They're being spearheaded by Marion Downtown, Inc., with the support and collaboration of myself and my administration, as well as the county participates as well. Probably more so the city participates than the county, but we certainly appreciate the participation of the county commissioners in Marion Downtown, Inc. There's some good things happening. The Christmas parade apparently is coming back this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks believe that the Christmas parade is an important thing for our community. I don't disagree with that, but I would also let your listeners know, in order for Downtown Marion, Inc. and the city and other organizations to work together to put on the parade, we need participants to mm-hmm. be in the parade.
That's true.
It doesn't do much good to have a parade if the high school marching bands don't come, mm-hmm. for example, or something, some other organization. We also need volunteer organizers for the parade.
Okay.
Many of the things that we do in downtown Marion is the CPAAA, or the Citizens Police Academy. That's the volunteer organization created in the Marion City Police Department. They wear those blue shirts and, I guess, black pants that say CPAAA on the back.
Right.
Those are volunteers. You see them at the Harding football games and basketball games and other community events, and you see them a lot at the downtown events that take place, mm-hmm. Popcorn Festival, 5K runs, Christmas parades, etc. So it's that type of volunteerism that we need to make the Christmas parade a success.
Right.
And the third thing that you need is you need the participants or the spectators to come down and watch the parade.
That's
you
true.
Can't put all that time and energy into organizing a Christmas parade if only 100 people show up. You know, we need 1,000 plus people to show up for the Christmas parade.
Yes.
You know, the first weekend of December is the unofficial or the official kickoff mm-hmm. of the Christmas season in Marion, Ohio.
Right.
I think it's December 3rd is the Christmas parade. Earlier that morning, you'll have the historic peanut push, which has been going on for, I don't know, 35, 40 years now. And that's a fundraiser for Christmas Clearinghouse.
Okay.
And then you're going to have Christmas at the Palace that evening. So that's why that first weekend of December, with those events that I just mentioned, is the official kickoff of the Christmas season in Marion.
Right. And you know what? I've just had two other commitments for December the 3rd. You know, I mean, it's so much going on because,
yep.
like you said, officially it is a kickoff for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people are having their parties and meetings and things like that, even though it's a Saturday,
yep.
you know. But I remember, I guess in my earlier years, how lined that street used to be for the Christmas parade. And it was, sometimes it'd be freezing cold and snowing, but it was just the fact that all those people were out there.
And that's what we need to
right.
make the Christmas parade a success
back, yes.
moving forward.
Right, absolutely. And I agree with you. That is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of work to go through and no one shows up.
Yep.
You know, and that happens a lot of things that we put on. Sometimes there's not a lot, then sometimes there are a lot of people. But those of you who are listening, look forward to the return of our Christmas parade here in Marion, Ohio. Bring your children and your grandchildren and your grandchildren's grandchildren. Just bring everybody that you can. Okay, now, Mayor, let's kind of stay on that vein of as far as talking about the future of Marion. I'm glad to hear that there are some new restaurants coming and will help to spark in our downtown area. Looking forward to that. I spent a lot of time downtown this
mm-hmm.
summer. I
yeah.
really did. I said, well, I'm going to pay attention and participate in what we do have going on. And I really loved the tour of the...
Oh, yeah, the Loft Tours.
The Loft
yeah,
Tours.
Which is organized by
yes.
Marion Downtown, Inc. Yep.
It was nice. I really enjoyed myself and had supper down at the pub.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
It was really nice, and they had a guitar player out there. So I really enjoyed myself. I didn't have to spend a lot of gas to go out of town to be entertained. And also, I liked the Rib Fest out at the Fairgrounds.
You know what? That was a pleasant surprise. I was amazed. I went out to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And not only was the food great at the Rib Fest, but I walked through the fairgrounds where a lot of the competitors were set up or camped out. And they were cooking whatever it was to enter into the contest.
Mm-hmm.
And I started talking to some of them, and many of them said, this is one of the most organized, well-run Rib Fest competitions that they attend. Now, these folks attend these types of competitions, cook-offs, all over the Midwest all summer long.
Right.
And I think that that is really something for this community to build on
is
the Rib Fest this year. I was thoroughly impressed with it.
I was, too. I enjoyed myself, and the food was superb. I mean, it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that, you know, the outpouring of the people, it was good, too, for our first one.
Right, yep.
Yes, absolutely. And Willie Phoenix. mm-hmm. who was a hometown boy, rock star. It was great. It was really great. And I think we are definitely moving in the right direction. Okay. I know that you are a busy man and you have a lot of things to contend with. I know we have a election here for our local officials in Marion, re-election for some and first time people being elected in different positions. How important is this election to our citizens here in Marion?
Well, you know, you hear the candidates and office holders every year say this is the most important election in our lifetime. I think every election is important because this year you're electing county officials, state legislators, a state U.S. senator, and obviously the big one at the top of the ticket is the president of the United States. Sure. So this is important. But, you know, then there's another election next year where all the members of city council are going to be up for re-election, the city treasurer, different township trustees are going to be up for re-election, and that's important as well. So I think sometimes the local elections can be just as important as the national, because local elected officials, that's where the rubber meets the road. Mm-hmm. You know, local elected officials are closer to the people than, say, the president and the vice president and U.S. senators and U.S. congressmen, because we see you all the time.
Right.
I stand on the sidelines during Harding home football games. You don't see the president of the United States standing down there.
No.
Okay, so that's what I mean when I say that we're closer to the people in that regard.
That's true.
So making sure that local voters select the right person for the job is important as well.
Yes,
and you know, I've told people when it comes to the local elections, they're all good folks running. I don't think that we're going to do poorly if somebody loses or another person wins. I think locally we're going to be fine because we put up some good people on both sides of the political aisle to run for public office this year. But I think it's just as important locally as it is nationally for the health and well-being of the future of Marion County, in this case, in next year Marion City.
Right. I agree with you 100%. It is important because as you and I both have been, you know, speaking of, we also have come through a hard time because of the recession and the condition of our city and the drug epidemic that has been going on, the overdosing and the higher number of incarceration and, you know, just the courts being overwhelmed with, you know what I'm saying, selling drugs or abusers or users. And we have all been touched by what has happened. And I think that it is very important that we continue on the right path, you know, no matter who's elected.
There's no doubt about it. But I would say in regards to any issue that we deal with in the city of Marion or the county of Marion, we can't solve national problems as local elected officials.
Right.
We can be part of the solution to a problem as a mayor, as a county commissioner, as a sheriff, or any other locally elected official. But we need the help of our state elected officials as well as our federal elected officials.
Right.
So let's say you have a federal elected official who has one philosophy on how to solve a problem, and then the state has a different philosophy, and then you have the local elected officials. If we can't get on the same page on how to solve a problem, then we're going to be battling one another in what is the best way to solve any problem, not just the problems that you and I have briefly spoke of here this morning, but any problem. And that means that we are not collaborating and cooperating with our state and federal officials. And we need to see more of that, because more of it will be better for us here in Marion. Now, it's already happening between the city elected officials and the county elected officials. So now we need to take that success and translate it into our elected officials at the higher levels of government.
Right.
You know, I used to teach eighth grade American history, and there's three levels of government. There's the federal level, the state level, and the local level.
Right.
And we need to be working in conjunction with one another to solve the problems, because when we're solving those problems, we're all helping the constituencies that we represent, regardless of what level of government you are.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're absolutely right. And we must work together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right. For the same cause.
Yep.
That is so true. And I had this question right on the tip of my tongue, and I didn't write it down. Oh, my gosh. Oh, everyone wants to know, what are we going to do about all these abandoned buildings?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, let me just say, what we've done in the past with abandoned buildings since I've been in office, well, the city and the county together have received up to this point about $1,600,000. And that is from two grants from my first and second term in office. The Moving Ohio Forward was the second term. And in the first term, we've got the NSP, or the Neighborhood Stabilization. Mm-hmm. So through those two grants, $1,600,000, we have torn down about 200 homes just in the city of Marion. Now, there were a few homes torn down in the county because it was a countywide grant, but we really only focused on what was being done in the city.
Right.
Now, this latest round of grants, which the county just got word, is the County Land Bank. And the Marion County Commissioners, and to their credit, I applaud them for creating a county land bank, because the city has had its own land bank for about 6 years now.
Okay.
And this latest round of grants, city land banks were not eligible to apply for the grant money to tear down abandoned and blighted homes.
Okay.
But the counties were eligible if they had a land bank. So the county commissioners worked very hard throughout this year of 2016 to create a county land bank, and now we have it in place.
Okay.
So the county land bank is a 5-member board. You've got two county commissioners, you've got the county treasurer, you've got the mayor of the largest city, which would be myself,
okay,
and then you have a township trustee. So again, the all different levels of government are represented. Township, county, and municipal government are represented on the county land bank board. So the county land bank applied for the grants that we were eligible for, and we got word, I think it was about a week and a half ago,
okay,
that Marion County will get about $850,000 to tear down blighted and abandoned homes. And now, again, that's city and county together.
Oh,
so that
okay
doesn't mean that $850,000 is only going to be used in the county, the unincorporated area,
right,
or only be used in the city, the incorporated area. It's going to overflow the incorporated and unincorporated areas of mm-hmm Marion County. And so now we're going to be getting that grant, I think later on this month, November the 17th, I think, was the date that we were originally told. We've been told how much, $850,000. So now we can start the process of doing the tax foreclosures on these abandoned properties.
Right.
So it'll be very important for the county elected officials to work together to do the tax foreclosure process. And admittedly, we haven't done a lot of tax foreclosures in Marion County over the past, call it 6 to 8 years. But now we're going to be able to do more to begin to address some of the issues that exist in these abandoned houses. And then after the tax foreclosures are completed, then we can bid out the demolition of these properties.
Okay.
And so we'll have, I don't know, I'm going to say about a year or better to spend this $850,000. So I think you're going to see a lot of homes get torn down starting in probably January of 2017. Now, just because nobody lives in a home doesn't necessarily mean it's eligible to be demolished.
Right.
A couple things have to happen here. First of all, we have to do the tax foreclosure, which means they have to be behind in their property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then nobody can be currently living in that home, because we don't want to displace any families,
right,
or anybody that may be living in a home. So they have to be abandoned, they have to be behind on taxes, and the home has to be financially beyond repair. In other words, how much is it going to cost to fix it up compared to demolishing it? Mm-hmm. Some homes have just sat abandoned for so long, it's not worth fixing them up. Right. We're better off to have them demolished. So I'm hoping, starting in 2017, that we're going to tear down somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 or so homes. Now, okay. That's my number. I haven't run the math from that 800,000 to say it's definitely going to be 100, but I'd like to see about 100 homes torn down in Marion County next year with this grant money. And if we do a good job in the county land bank, and we mm-hmm. do a good job with this $50,000 grant, hopefully we can be eligible for additional monies if we run a good county land bank program.
That's true. Depends on how you use it, right?
Yep.
You get
yep.
more. I like that concept, you know. And I think that the homes that have been over the past few years that have been torn down, I think they did a real good job keeping the grass cut and everything like that. But like you say, there's still some more that needs to be dealt with.
Well, again, in some of those homes that have been torn down that I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. Some of them, the property owners retained ownership, but in the case of the county land bank, the county will own the lots after the demolition. That is a stipulation that they cannot remain in the hands of the original property owner, because that's what the tax foreclosure process is.
Okay.
When the county does a tax foreclosure, then the county will take title of that property and then will demolish it. Now, the county land bank then has to decide, how do we maintain those properties and mm-hmm. how do we dispose of them? Because the county, like the city, doesn't want to become a landlord of vacant lots. And right now, the city land bank has somewhere in the neighborhood of, I'm going to say, 25 vacant lots in its land bank.
Mm-hmm.
And we've probably sold close to 10 or 15 lots out of the city's land bank.
Okay.
And actually, the city has a land bank auction. I believe it's Election Day, November the 8th. And they are held at 10 a.m. in the lobby of City Hall. So that is Tuesday, November the 8th. That's 1 week from today.
Yes, it is.
So that'll be a city land bank auction. And there will be, I don't know, a half dozen or a dozen of these lots in the city land bank auction. And I don't have that list with me, but if anybody listening is mm-hmm. interested in any of those lots, probably the best thing for you to do is call Law Director Mark Russell. He's the city law director. He keeps that list and helps run the city land bank auctions. So Law Director Mark Russell, if you're interested in any vacant lot that is in the city's land bank. Now, again, not all vacant lots out there are in the city's land bank, mm-hmm. but 25 or so of them are, and about 6 to 8 to 12 of them will be auctioned off 1 week from today at 10 a.m. in the lobby of City Hall.
Okay. Now, Mark is also running for county commissioner, not county commissioner, but prosecuting attorney.
Correct. Right? Correct. That's
okay.
right. Yep.
So that means his position will also be right, Law Director?
Well,
they do that?
Yeah. Here's what happens. Again, only the county offices, not all of them, but most of the county offices are up this year.
Okay.
So let's say, for example, Mark Russell were to win,
mm-hmm.
and then he would get sworn in as the new county prosecutor on January 1st right. of 2017. Then that creates a vacancy in the city law director's office, and it would be up to the party to appoint his replacement as city law director. And then I believe there would be a special election in 2017 for that person to run for the remaining term of the city law director.
Right.
The law director's 4-year term actually ends in 2019. So there will be an unexpired term if a change happens to take place in that particular county race.
Okay. Because I wondered about, when you mentioned his name, law director, I'm thinking, wow, he's running for office,
right.
isn't he?
Yep.
So, okay. So someone will appoint someone in that position.
Right. The party would appoint if Mark Russell were to become the county prosecutor. Correct. That's how that works.
Okay.
And likewise with all the county and city officials. If you're a city official and you run for another office and your term is not up, mm-hmm. if you win another office, the remaining term of your office would be appointed by the political party of which that candidate belonged to.
Right. That's right. Okay. All right. So, Mayor, I know the Lincoln Pool Aquatic Center is somewhat new. Are we going into our third year with that or fourth?
Actually, we just finished our fifth year.
You're kidding.
No. So we probably had one of the best seasons that we've had since the Aquatic Center has been open. It is a financial struggle to manage and maintain such a large, expensive aquatic center, and it mm-hmm. will continue to be a challenge to do that. But we had our one of our better years. It only cost us $35,000 in the red. Mm-hmm. And when I say in the red, that's still much better than it was in our first few years when we were up around the $50,000, $60,000 in the red. Oh. But, you know, we had a situation this summer where you couldn't have asked for better weather for an outdoor pool.
That's true.
And there again, there's something that we have as administrators, we have no control over the weather. Mm-mm. So we were blessed this summer with a hot, dry summer, and the pool did well. Now, your listeners may be saying, huh, you ran the pool in the red. You're not supposed to run those in the red. You're supposed to run them in the black. And
of course.
The listener, you are exactly right. So how we offset that is we get around $200,000 from the hospital lease every year. And that's what we do or we use to offset that $35,000 that we ran the pool in the red. So essentially the hospital lease money is subsidizing the operational expenses of the aquatic center.
Okay.
So we never really lost it, but that's how I explain it. So I hope that's easy to understand. But
it is easy. And, you know, it's just like starting a new business. They always say, look to go in the red first. You know,
you
don't want to go that way.
No, you don't. I had hoped that the pool would generate enough money to operate itself. And that's just not the case with the size and magnitude of our aquatic center. Now, I will also say the old swimming pool was almost 100% subsidized by the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't run a public swimming pool at a break even without subsidizing it from your general fund. And that's just the nature of public pools.
Right. I understand that.
You don't want to overcharge. You don't want to undercharge. You have to strike a balance to where you're not operating it in the red too much and taking too much money away from the general fund. But again, we use the hospital lease money to subsidize the operations of the aquatic center, and it's worked out well for us the past couple of years.
Oh, yeah. And I believe it will. If we continue to have that type of weather like we had this past summer, which was lack of rain, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it was good for some people and not good for other people, but yeah, that lack of rain. I don't know the farmers. I know I...
Yeah,
I
think the yields were down in some of the soybeans and the corn this year,
right.
But you know,
the pool
did its best season. The farmer suffered.
It deserved it though, really, because I mean it's a new project, and like you said, all that rain all summer and it just couldn't hardly, you know.
Yep.
And people were saying, well, why did we, you know, build this pool and we can't get anybody over there, but.
Well, you know what? We look at things like what is average daily attendance at the pool, and we're hovering around that 350 average daily attendance. So when you take the days that we were open and everybody that went to the pool and you average it out, 350, that's really not enough to cover your operational expenses. We need closer to 800 or 900 people a day to even that out, and I just don't know that that's going to happen. happen. So we're settling in on about 350 people a day. Mm-hmm. I think we were only closed one day this summer because of weather. Now, there were a few days where we closed early because of a late afternoon storm mm-hmm. rolled in. I want to say we were open 78 days. And our goal is to stay open at least 80 or 80 plus days. But okay. you're not going to get very many more than 75 to 80 days open in a summer. So that was really good. Our numbers were up there as well.
Right. And, you know, weather-wise, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good.
Yep.
Global warming. What are your opinions?
I'm going to let the scientists, weigh in on that. I'm more concerned with the issues that are taking place right here in my community, and that doesn't mean that global warming or environmental issues are not important, because yes, they all can impact us. But I think there are people at the higher levels of government that are working on those issues.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, and you know, when you said we can't control the weather, that was a big statement.
Some would say that.
I don't think.
No. Well, not that I'm aware of, anyhow, unless they've found some way to do that.
Right.
But, you know, they say that some of the storms that we deal with today are more severe than they were 50 years ago. I don't know. Sometimes that's cyclical. Sometimes it's due to environmental change, environmental impact. I'm not sure. I just think if you have an opportunity to treat the environment better, we should take advantage of that opportunity.
So, Mayor, how do you see your political future?
Well, you know, I've got, after this year, I've got three more years left in this particular term.
So 2019?
The 2019. So those are the things that I'm most focused on right now. You know, after running for re-election just last year, I'm focused on, you know, what we're going to do moving forward to 2019. There are some exciting things happening in our community. You got the Harding 2020 program with a new museum and presidential library for Warren Harding. I'm excited that our community is finally going to get one of those. I mean, we're one of what, 44 communities that can claim the home of a president.
True.
You know,
true.
So out of all the communities across the country, we're one of 44.
Mm-hmm.
So what Sherry is doing at the Harding home and raising the money to do that, that's great. That'll be big for Marion in 2020,
mm-hmm.
and I want to support and participate in that success. You know, we're doing Lincoln Field restoration at Lincoln Park.
Okay.
That main baseball diamond out there with the grandstands,
mm-hmm.
that was built during the Great Depression around 1935 as a Depression era project, works project. And I'm told it's one of three of its kind still standing today.
Wow.
So restoring that and preserving that stadium, improving that baseball field at Lincoln Field with new scoreboards, new lights, new fencing, dugouts, stadium, etc., everything, you know, that's important for the success of the community and the success of the Lincoln Park baseball complex,
mm-hmm.
all those diamonds around there. They had like 500 kids playing in the baseball complex at Lincoln Field this past summer.
That's great.
So that's important as well. So those are the kind of things and mm-hmm. the kind of projects that I'm looking forward to over the course of the next 3 years, to making sure that they are successful, providing a service not only to those of us that live here in Marion, but it will also benefit us. It'll draw in outsiders to the community.
True.
Whether it's baseball, softball tournaments, or visiting the Presidential Library here in Marion,
right.
Ohio.
So where's that going to be located, the Presidential Library?
Well, it's going to be located directly behind the Harding home on Church Street.
Okay.
Sherry Hall has a great plan put together. She made a little presentation to the downtown board just this last Friday,
okay.
and has some artist renditions and drawings of what the Presidential Library will look like. So it'll be a great addition. You'll have the Presidential Library and Museum on Church Street, and directly behind it, facing Mount Vernon Avenue, is obviously the Harding home.
Right.
So it'll be on the same campus. Okay. They'll expand parking there. They're going to change some things there. So everything will be right there in that kind of that, I'll call it a one block area. Mm-hmm. So it'll be good, be good for the neighborhood, good for Marion.
That's going to be great. That's going to be great. And I know that you are married to
my wife, Ann.
Music.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She's a music teacher of a Grant Middle School. And what does she have going on?
Well, I'll tell you what. She and both of my daughters are really into musical theater.
Yes.
My oldest daughter, Sydney, and Anne participated just a few weeks back in the production of Tarzan at the Palace Theater.
Okay.
And my daughter, Sydney, really seems to be heading in that music direction more than sports. And okay. That's fine if that's what she enjoys. And now I know my wife Ann will be gearing up for the Grant Middle School production that they'll do in March. So she's starting to already think about, you know, what does she need for set design? And they'll have tryouts right before Christmas break and Wow. announce who will be playing in what role. My daughter Sydney is practicing for Grease, which is the Harding musical production,
right.
Which I think is 1 week from this coming Friday. The weekend after the election.
Okay.
So Sydney is in Greece, and Sydney is also a member of the Harding Singers and the Harding Choir and the orchestra. So she's all about music. My younger daughter, Olivia, she enjoys the musical aspect that her mother and older sister love so much. Mm-hmm. But Olivia's probably a little bit more into the sports, you know, volleyball, basketball, track. And so I get the luxury of the sports world and the musical theater world, which I know very little about, but I've learned a great deal over the past few years.
Your wife does an excellent job.
Well, thank you.
I have to give it to her. And I know it takes all of them working together, the students and her, mm-hmm. everyone who participates. But I always look at the leader. The team.
Well, there's a lot of parents that help her out too,
right,
and I know
sure.
I know she and Christy Wink have a great partnership. Christy Wink does the productions at the Palace, and Ann assists, and then Ann does the production middle school production at the high school, and Christy assists her in that. So, what a great partnership those two have come up with.
That's great. That's great. It's good to hear. I know she works very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps our community, too, and bring those kids together, working together on different projects. And I enjoy it.
Well, it gives the kids an alternative. You know, not everybody's an athlete. You know, it just gives them another opportunity to find something that they're interested in. And, you know, I didn't look at it that way when I was in school. I was a sports guy. Mm-hmm. And I would have never have dreamed of trying out for the school musical production or singing in the choir. But now you need to have a variety of things that you can offer to middle school and high school kids, and the more that those kids are involved in, the better people they will become as adults.
True. That's so true, Mayor. That's so true. And I remember back in the day, it was sort of like other boys would call those interested in the arts and things like that sissies.
Yeah.
You're a sissy.
I'll tell you what, it's not that way nowadays. The musical program at Harding High School is on par with anybody. I mean, They have, I think, in many respects, just as much respect as the athletes do in the Harding High School. And that's great to see. There are a lot of athletes that participate in those musical productions and Harding Singers as well. I was surprised at the crossover from athletes into music and vice versa.
Yeah, I think it helps. You know, mm-hmm. their morale, their temperament, their flexibility as far as being in sports and things like that. I've run across several young men who were in ballet, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And then they're in sports. But and that's a good thing, I think. It's just like you said, keeping them busy.
Yes.
And having them to be able to find their own gifts.
Well,
they fit in, you know.
Try out as many things as you can. You'll find your niche. You'll find what you're, A, most talented at, and B, what you like the most. And then you can go in that direction like my oldest daughter, Sydney, did.
True. That's great. That is really good. Can you imagine that your daughters are getting ready to come out of high school.
Well, that is rather shocking. Compared to most of my friends and my classmates whose children have already graduated from high school and college and are starting to get married now, yeah. I started later in life. My kids haven't even all gotten into high school yet, right. So it's a new experience for me, and it's a wonderful experience to go through with them.
That's good. That's good. Kids grow up so fast.
They do
indeed. You can't hold them down, can you?
Nope.
I was thinking all my grandchildren are grown except for one, you know, and he's 12. He didn't want to go trick-or-treating last night. I'm going to be 13, Grandma. So, really, 13? You better enjoy those years, you know, before you know it. You'll be like 18, 19, and you'll be wishing, I wish I had a went trick-or-treating, you know. Mm-hmm. I just, sometimes kids grow up too fast. They just think I'm not, you know. I wish he would try out for some of those things, but he's going to be trying out for basketball over at Grant Middle School.
Okay, good.
Which is his second year, and I think it's good, too. Right. I think it's good, too. And I told him, if you want it, you're really going to have to go for it, buddy.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The athletes nowadays, they put in a lot more time than they did when I played back in the early 80s. It's a lot different both sides of the aisle. Music and sports is so different nowadays.
Yeah, because you have to go for it with all that you have. I mean, you just can't go half-heartedly. You got to put everything you have into it. And I shared that with him. I said, if you want it, you're going to have to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to baby you, you know, because he's the baby of that family. You know, nobody's going to baby you or feel sorry. You just have to go for it. And it takes a lot of courage.
Yes,
and confidence. And confidence. Well, Mayor, I thank you so much for your time and your busy schedule that you could visit with us today. Is there anything you would like to share in our last 30 seconds?
Well, thank you for having me on. I certainly appreciate it, and I love coming on and talking about the things that are going on in the community, so please call on me anytime.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And before I leave the air, I would like to leave this thought with you. The better person you become, the better person you attract. You have been listening to The Chat with Linda Sims. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. For Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump,
we welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.
I have to tell you, I have not slept in days. I'm very, very excited. This is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal convention, probably the biggest star-studded convention you've ever seen. We've got huge, huge stars. We've got Gary Busey, LaToya Jackson, Jose Canseco, some of the really, really big names from Celebrity Apprentice, and I think it really, really is.
Now what do we have in store for your big acceptance speech Thursday night?
Well, before I get to that, I have to talk about your terrible, terrible, terrible governor, John Kasich.
Oh, no.
I think what he's doing is terrible. Did I mention it's terrible? Because I think it's terrible. He's not endorsing me, which I think is crazy. He's really not helping at all. He's not showing up. I don't know what this guy's problem is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's got a supercut haircut. He has a terrible suit on. I could really, really help this guy out, but I have to tell you something. I am not going to help him because he's not helping me. And I'm a very nice guy, but he is not being nice to me.
Well, Donald, that was on my list of things to ask you about because
I had to get right to it because I just cannot get over that he's doing this. It makes no sense.
Well, he said, and this is his quote, he said, I'm going to get Kasich's quote right here. He says, why would I feel compelled to support someone whose positions I kind of fundamentally disagree with?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, but doesn't he know we're in the same party? I mean, Mike Pence and I don't agree on anything, nothing. And he's my VP. And then I was thinking about Chris Christie, who I've mentioned many, many times before. I like Chris. He gets my dry cleaning. He gets, you know, fast food. He just runs all these amazing errands. You know, he'll shut down an entire bridge just to get us some Chinese food. It's really, really incredible. I have to say that. But, you know, I like Chris. You know, and he's like most Americans. He's like most Americans. Type A personality, type 2 diabetes. But the issue that I saw with Chris was, and, you know, we've already had problems with the Trump-Pence logo. I think you know about this. But I was afraid with Chris, they were going to make jokes. And I don't like to be made fun of. And they were going to say Trump and plump. And I didn't want that for Chris. You know what I mean?
What about 100,000 protesters in Cleveland this week? Does that give you pause?
I think that's fantastic. I mean, nobody has more protesters than me. And wait till the riots. You're going to see fantastic riots in Cleveland. These are going to be the best riots you've ever seen. I inspire amazing riots. And these are going to be top-notch riots.
Well, I tell you what, Donald, I know it's such a busy time for you. I can't thank you enough. I know you dislike the media, but I always thank you for stopping by.
Well, you know, Scott, you've always been very, very nice to me. You don't hit me with any of those hardball questions, which I think is great. I really appreciate that.